ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
In this little time that I have, I can always continue my message. Maybe next week, Wednesday, if I'm unable to get through it, which I'm sure the time that I have, I may not be able to. We're talking about, generally about the family, but we're bringing it down to kingdom families. In the last few weeks, we've talked about family patterns, family values, the things that for us who are believers in Christ, we need to pay close attention to. In the last 50, 60 years of civilization in our world, a lot has gone wrong with the family unit. There is actually a new definition of what the family structure and unit should be. But for everyone who believes in the Bible, there is a template, there is a model for the family. So we've run this series and we're just continuing in the month of August. And I'd like to ask a question this morning, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you are separated or divorced or widowed, or you are a single parent, but you are still looking to getting married, I'd like to ask a very simple question across board this morning. Why marriage? Why marriage? Open your Bibles, please, with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 to 12, the word of the Lord is real. I mean, there is a saying that says, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. But we know the purpose of God by just reading his word. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I read first from the Good News Translation. It says, two are better than one. They are better off than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it is just too bad, because there is no one to help him. Verse 11 says, if it is cold, two can sleep together and stay warm. But how can you keep warm by yourself? Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person. A rope made of three cords is hard to break. I move on to the New Century Translation. And it's subtitled here, friends and family give strength. Verse 9 says, two people are better than one, because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls, because no one is there to help. If two lie down together, they will be warm. But a person alone will not be warm. That's the New Century Version. I move on to the New Living Version, or New Living Translation. He said, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other to succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer.
three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I'd like to read from the Hold Faithful, the New King James, as my last reading on that same passage. I'm reading different translations to give us a different meaning and perspective. In the King James Version, it says, the value of a friend. Say, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord cannot easily or quickly broken. Just to give us a brief recap, four basic points or pointer to the mind of God concerning the subject of the family. Number one, God believed in the concept of the family, and so he started it. You can see that from Genesis 1:26. He says, let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they are a family, one purpose, one synergy, cooperation, not at loggerheads with each other. So God believed in the concept of the family. And so he started it. Secondly, God has a family. The Bible says, both in heaven and here on the earth. In heaven, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, with a host of angels, and then the patriarchs, and then believers who have gone into glory. And here on earth, the church. So in Ephesians 3:14, it says, I bow my knees to the Father, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Thirdly, God designated us to live in families. We've said that. In Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6, he said, God is the father to the fatherless, is a husband of the widow. God is the one who set the solitary in families. So even when you have, for those of us who take on house help, the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 6, that you bring people into prosperity. So your house help, if you have one, by reason of living under your roof, must attend school or must take on a vocational center, must be led into prosperity because God has set that person in that season of his or her life in your family. And then fourthly, God has given us a molded template for the family unit. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it's God's intention that a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And we can see all through the scriptures that the blessings of God on any man is upon him and his family. We can see the patriarch of our faith, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says he will bless Abraham, and in him all the families of the heart will be blessed. So this morning, I'd like to talk to everyone about why God created marriage. And for your information, it's at this part of eternity that people will get married. Jesus gave us an insight into that. He said in the kingdom that is to come, he said, no one will be given out in marriage. So, marriage is created by God for the benefit and welfare of mankind. And if God started this whole idea of marriage, we must understand his mind towards it. And then we must play according to the rules so that we can make success out of it. There are rules that binds football. There are rules that bind handball. There are rules that bind lawn tennis. There are rules that control badminton and other sports. And if anyone, even though handball, football, it's all ball, but if you run fouls of the rule, you are going to be disqualified. But so God has a rule concerning marriage. Every believer in Christ should run on the kingdom culture because we believe in the God of the Bible. The Bible is our culture in all matters of life, including marriage. And the question for us to consider this morning, why did God create this marriage or created marriage? Our understanding will help us to eliminate the confusion that has ravaged our world in the last 50 to 60 years. In an attempt to redefine marriage, we have all run into all kinds of problems. But it need not be. Marriage is not designed by God to be a battleground. Marriage is for synergy or cooperation. Marriage is not for two people to become adversaries of each other, but allies. We read it in our text this morning. Two are better than one. Marriage is not a performance or a competitive game to choose who is better between the man and the woman. It is never a game of comparison. So why did God create marriage? Number one, we read it this morning, for companionship. I don't know what your experience has been. Whether you're married or you're looking to get married every day, we must keep these seven things. It's like a vision. Whether you've given marriage a trial before and it didn't work, before you take another shot at marriage, you must give these things consideration. Number one reason why anyone should want to get married is for companionship. In Genesis 2, chapter 18, in the New Living Translation, it said, "Then God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." When Adam was without a wife, he was alone, but not lonely. He had an awesome relationship with God. Marriage will not kill anyone's loneliness. You have to learn how to be alone with God first, such that that fellowship will help you to be able to take on another person, and you can both be alone in the presence of the Lord. You can become a helper. You can become a helper to each other. You can become friends to each other. You can become companion to each other. So God's initiative is that it was not good. It wasn't man. So no matter how we redefine marriage today, we need to get back from the very beginning. What is God's intention for companionship? The word companionship is another word for helper or ideal partner. And that word helper is the word ezer, E-Z-E-R, which means someone who is meeting one's need for companionship and partnership. So, if you are single, you want to get married because you need someone who can help you. You have something to contribute to the strength and character of that marriage. You are not a liability looking for someone to resolve your loneliness problem. So, marriage happens on many levels, and that's why we need companions. It happens on spiritual level, on relational level, on social level, on emotional level, on financial level, on parenting level, on intellectual level, on recreational level. So you need a companion. In other words, you need a better half. Someone to complete your wholeness. Someone who is adaptable to your needs. So you have something that you are offering. The other person has something that they are offering. And then your synergy, your cooperation under God makes you to become a formidable force. He said, when one falls, the other one lifts up his fellow. He said, but woe to him who is alone, because when he falls, he has no one to help him up. And he says in another place, in that passage that we read, he said, when a force comes against one, two are better able to withstand it, for a threefold cord is not easily broken. So marriage is not a battleground. It is a land for cooperation, for synergy. It is a land where a man and a woman can relate socially, emotionally, financially, parentally, intellectually, recreationally. And this suggests that there is just someone who fits into that role in your life. Second reason why God created marriage, for sexual fulfillment. Who created sex? You may be surprised. It's God. Who gave you those emotions? It's God. Who gave you those chemistry? It's God. We said this a lot to married couples when we are teaching about the subject of sex. What do you think God is doing when a married couple is having sex? Close his eyes or covers his eyes? Remember, wired us up. In Psalm 139, it talks about every cell in our body. So God knows you. But hey, for everything God has created, he puts them within the boundary. So for you to express your sexual passion, he puts it within the boundary of marriage. That's why casual sex is not his template. One night stand is not his template. Sleeping around is not his template. Even the medical people will tell you that there is more to sex than just two physical bodies being, attached to each other. So God created sex. So marriage is meant to be the fulfillment and the release of our sexual drives. We are kingdom people. I know what I'm saying. People attack it. They say it's their body. Oh, I have to count my body. No, it's not your body. You are the temple of God. God created, put those sexual desire in you. And you must have a vision that those sexual passion desire must be released within marriage. Casual sex is excess without any sense of commitment. But in marriage, there is commitment. There is trust. Casual sex is not just living in with someone. So God expects us. God put the sexual drive here, and so he expects us to release those things within the context of marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, Paul writing, he says, so I say to those who aren't married and to widows, he said, it is better to stay unmarried just as I am. So some people have the gift of celibacy. I don't have it. And I know that some of you listening this morning, you don't have it. So Paul says, if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. So for us who are kingdom believers, there must be a vision. All the drives, all the things as a male, you're reporting every morning, everything you must, gather those strength and energy with a vision that one day, as a single person, you want to get married. Paul highlighted it, and I'm not an advocate for it. You must get married. And if you want to get married, it must be so that you can release your sexual passion. There is no other place. There is no other place. People redefine marriage, so they have different means of expression. Even those who are widowed, you can get married again. And like I said, thank God that Jesus gave us an insight that it's on this part of eternity that marriage is required. So let's enjoy all that God has given us at this part of eternity. And blessed be God, he said, thanks be to our God who has given us, 2 Peter says, all things that pertains to life and godliness. So Paul wasn't saying marriage is bad. He was just saying that it's helpful. If you want to focus on ministry, it's helpful. If you want to do itinerant, that you go and live, instead of leaving wife and family, he said it may be helpful for your ministry. But he also admitted, it is better to marry than to burn. Burn means, just releasing your sexual passion in an inordinate way. So God created sex as a wonderful gift for the union. I know you are quiet at home because it's quiet in here in the studio. So God created sex. It's a wonderful gift for the union of a man and a woman in marriage. In marriage. I ask singles sometimes this question. It's the same art of sex in marriage. Why do you feel guilty when you do it as a single person? It's because it's just out of context. So, let me also explain that. Sex between a married man and an unmarried person is called adultery. Between two married people who are not husband and wife is also called adultery. Between a single person and another single person is called fornication. Between a married person and a single person is still fornication. So, God put everything within boundary. Hebrews 13 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Even Paul agreed that sex is so important that married couples are not to stop having sex unless for a very good reason. And that good reason is when you are fasting. And it has to be an agreement between the husband and the wife. So if your wife wants it while you are fasting, go ahead, bro. It is legal. Because in another translation, you say, give her the due benevolence. That's not giving money or aid. Due benevolence in that sense is the heart of sex. So don't withhold yourself from each other unless you agree to do so for a set of time to devote yourselves to prayer. So it's not every time that you also pray. And time must be given to that ministry. He said, lest you get back together so that Satan don't use your lack of self-control to tempt you. So as a good single person, you have the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. 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 I think I have to stop now. I continue on Wednesday. God created marriage. I can just mention the other five things: for reproduction, to raise godly children, to demonstrate Christ's symbol between marriage to his bride and the church, to ensure the basic building block of the society, to establish God's marriage model. I like to say to you this morning, God is interested in our lives. He's interested in our outcome. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is the gift of God. In marriage, there is synergy. In marriage, there is cooperation. And we cannot undermine it. We are not non-believers. We are believers. So God has a template for us. And in his word, we can see this template. And thank God for the word of God. I've said it, and I'm going to repeat it again. There are about 5,467 promises in the word of God. So it affects every area of our life, our finances, our marriages, and the heart of parenting, ethic and etiquette. And we can be the best that God has designed. He said he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. We will continue on Wednesday. Please join in our beautiful exchange service. God is interested in you and I building stable families that will affect his body, that will affect the society as large. And I pray for restoration. I pray for healing. I pray for those trusting for their life partner. I pray for divine connection. I pray that the Lord will lead and guide you aright. And for those who are already married, who are experiencing maybe challenges, I pray for enrichment in your marriage. I pray for healing and restoration. I pray that the love of God and the forgiveness of God will run through your home. Father, thank you for the blessing of today and the blessing of another week. We give you all the praise and glory, for we have prayed this morning from my heart in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a lovely week in the name of the Lord Jesus.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,